We now continue our lesson about King David's weakness and sin. In the previous lesson, we ended with the story of David's great sin with Bathsheba and how he had murdered one of his army officers, Uriah, so that he could marry Bathsheba. After Nathan the prophet had come in to King David and told him that God knew all he had done about Bathsheba, and he also pronounced God's judgment over David, David repented, seriously repented. He had committed a great public crime. He also repented publicly. That is when he wrote Psalm 51, and we will now read this together. A Psalm of David, after the prophet Nathan had come to him when David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, because I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner man. You teach me wisdom in the inmost part. Clean me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Questions to discuss. Do you agree that it is good to publicly confess our sins if we have committed them publicly? Do you notice in David's prayer of Psalm 51 that he seeks to be fully restored by God into his intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit? Do you notice that he wants a clean heart? Do you believe that he understands that we commit certain sins because of uncleanness in our inner man? Do you notice that David realizes that his witness is destroyed by this sin and that it can only be restored when God cleans his heart? Did you notice in this psalm the words, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken heart and contrite heart you will not despise." Do these words not defy any effort to preach a prosperity gospel aimed at getting big offerings in the collection plate? David should have spent a lot of time with all his wives and children. But having more than one wife and family, and being busy as ruler of Israel, he just didn't have that time. So he also could not teach his wives and children God's word, as the above text from Ephesians instructs us to do. It is indeed a man's responsibility to teach wife and children God's word. We must teach and train our children in God's ways so that when they grow up, they will not depart from them. David obviously had no time for that and did not do so. Many of his children then end up creating great harm to the families of David. Here is a story about David's sons Amnon and Absalom from 2 Samuel chapter 13. Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, also son of David. Amnon became frustrated to the point of illness on account of his sister Tamar, because she was a virgin and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He asked Amnon, "Why do you, the king's son, look so haggard morning after morning? Won't you tell me?" And Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." "Go to bed and pretend to be ill," Jonadab said. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so that I may watch her and then eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. And when the king did come and see him, Amnon said to him, "I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so that I may eat from her hand." David sent word to Tamar at the palace, "Go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him." So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, made the bread in his sight, and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread, but he refused to eat. "Send everyone out of here," Amnon said. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food here into my bedroom so that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, "Come to bed with me, my sister." "Don't, my brother," she said to him. "Don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you." But he refused to listen to her, and since he was stronger than she, he raped her. Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her before. Amnon said to her, "Get up, get out of here." "No," she said to him, "sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you have done already to me." But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant and said, "Get this woman out of here," and bolted the door after her. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. She was wearing a richly ornamented robe, because this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornamented robe she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away weeping aloud as she went. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has that Amnon, your brother, been with you? Be quiet now, my sister. He's your brother. Don't take this thing to heart." And Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman. When King David heard all this, he was furious. Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. He hated Amnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. 2 years later, when Absalom's sheep shearers were at Baal Hazor near the border of Ephraim, he invited all the king's sons to come there. And Absalom went to the king and said, "Your servant has had shearers come. Will the king and his officials please come and join me?" "No, my son," the king replied, "all of us should not go. We would only be a burden to you." Although Absalom urged him, he still refused to go, but gave him his blessing. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon come with us." And the king asked him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom urged him, so he sent with him Amnon and the rest of the king's sons. Absalom ordered his men, "Listen, when Amnon is in high spirits from drinking wine, and I say to you, strike Amnon down, then kill him. Don't be afraid. Have not I given you this order? Be strong and brave." So Absalom's men did to Amnon what Absalom had ordered. Then all the king's sons got up, mounted their mules, and fled. And while they were on their way, the report came to David, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons. Not one of them is left." The king stood up, tore his clothes, and lay down on the ground. And all his servants stood by with their clothes torn. But Jonadab, son of Shimei, David's brother, said, "My lord should not think that they killed all the princes. Only Amnon is dead. This has been Absalom's expressed intention ever since the day Amnon raped his sister Tamar. My lord the king should not be concerned about the report that all the king's sons are dead. Only Amnon is dead." Meanwhile, Absalom had fled. Now the man standing watch looked up and saw many people on the road west of him coming down the side of the hill. The watchman told the king, "I see men in the direction of Horonaim on the side of the hill." Jonadab said to the king, "See, the king's sons are here. It has happened just as your servant said." And as he finished speaking, the king's sons came in, wailing loudly. The king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. Absalom fled and went to Talmai, son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. But King David mourned for his son every day. After Absalom fled and went to Geshur, he stayed there 3 years, and the spirit of the king longed to go to Absalom, because he was consoled concerning Amnon's death. Questions to discuss. David is such an amazingly insightful spiritual leader. As I read the Psalms, I am continually in awe of his spiritual insights. Do you notice, however, that David has not brought his own children close to God? Should Amnon not have been put to death for raping his half-sister? Or should he not have been required by law to marry her? She was even willing to be married to him. Absalom took revenge on Amnon for his sister Tamar. Does Absalom's hate for his brother Amnon solve any problems? After this story from David's family, follow even worse events in David's life. You can read about that in the next following chapters in 2 Samuel 14 and following. Absalom ends up rising up against his father to take over as king. It is a story full of intrigue, betrayal, and violence. In the end, David's general Joab kills Absalom. Questions to discuss. Why would Solomon have been so wise to ask God for wisdom when he became king in his father's place? Could it be that Bathsheba always remained David's favorite wife, with whom he spent much time, and that David thus gave his son Solomon more attention than the other children? Could it be that deep dissatisfaction or bitterness existed in Amnon, Absalom, and others, as their mothers were neglected by their father? And could that have caused these terrible rebellions by these sons? In closing, I would like to encourage you to give your children all the attention they need if you get the chance yet. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6 warn us so clearly about the consequences if we do not turn our hearts to word our children and give them our love and attention. Watch, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And if that does not happen, I will come and strike the earth with a curse. An American spiritual leader, Derek Prince, said it once this way: "You may be the most successful pastor or leader in this world, but if you do not have a relationship with your children, you are a failure." Life will remain a battle for all of us, as it was for David. We may come ever so close to our Heavenly Father, but to stay close to Him after He has amply blessed us is not easy. We all must run the race set before us and keep on pressing in to reach our goal. A warm welcome from our Lord Jesus Christ when He welcomes us into His Father's house. Paul wrote at the end of his life to his disciple in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, just before he would be put in an arena with hungry lions: "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. End of this lesson.